This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
How you doing? This is indeed Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and Mile High Radio in Denver. Solly and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios. No Eric this week, and Steve and Danny are still on hiatus. However, we already have their pigskin picks in for the night. We'll get to that later on. We have Steve's thoughts on what's going on in the sports world. We'll get to that later on. Danny, I don't know why you didn't have time to do this week, but he couldn't get us his opinions on what's going on in sports. Hopefully we'll get those sooner rather than later. Whenever they decide to get to them, we'll get to them. We got stuff going on in the world of baseball. We will not get to the World Series tonight on the show, only because we're recording this show as Game 7 is going on. So it would be completely pointless for us to break anything down in the series by the time this gets to the air. So if you want to know what happened with the World Series, check social media. Facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports. Twitter at @S_S_Sports using the hashtag SollySteve. Both work. Check the sports blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com, for the full recap of the series. Plus, we will have a mini rant on the World Series and MVP. All that will be done as soon as the World Series concludes, so you'll have all that stuff up by the time this show airs. We got that to get to later on, but as the opening music should have indicated, we are through week 8 in the NFL season. The Giants had a bye week, which means there is no possible way they could lose this week, right, Jeff? And he's giving me the head nod, so yeah, there's no possible way the Giants could lose this week.
Yeah, they suspended their cornerback, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the second straight cornerback.
After going AWOL, I guess.
Yeah, but both of the starting cornerbacks that they've suspended have gone AWOL, which is why the Giants have suspended them. But, you know, it's turning into a crap show when you got to suspend cornerbacks for not reporting to camp or mm-hmm. not reporting to the team. So as if things couldn't get any weirder for the Giants, you can now throw that into the mix. So, yay football, right?
Yay.
Well,
with another week of parody.
Yeah.
Not saying it's a bad thing, but...
Well, no, parody in terms of what? Our picks and the league itself.
You can do both.
Well, no, there's been plenty of parody in the NFL this week. There's one thing that we know for sure. The Jets suck. Flat out, the Jets suck.
It's more like that they're so young that it's hard for them to close out games. Let's put it that way.
It's a combination of they're young, they don't have a lot of talent on their team, and their quarterback's an old fart. I'll give McCown credit where it's due. He's had a good year. But at 38 years old, he's definitely not the long-term answer for this Jets team. Steve did give his thoughts on the Jets and the Giants, and I quote, "As far as the Jets and Giants go, they both suck, but the Jets are more watchable, unbelievably," and he's right.
Well, the thing is that still with McCown is that the rest of the players still play hard for the Coach Bowles and play for Josh McCown as well.
Which is amazing in and of itself right there.
Yeah, so like if he decided to throw in the kids... Like what I heard, like from an interview with Bart Scott, let's see how the kids. They're pretty sure that the kids with their under center, that the team is not going to respond well to that.
Well, I mean, it's a double edged sword because I can see where Bart Scott's coming from with that argument, in that you got a small sample size out of what Bryce Petty could do last year because Petty's put playing time with Ryan Fitzpatrick last season, so I wouldn't mind seeing Petty under center now. To a certain degree, because I want to know what the future holds with this Jets team and if it's even worth trying to draft a quarterback in the upcoming draft, if that's even possible, depending on where the Jets fall. Because in all likelihood, the way things are floating right now, the 1 and 2 picks are going to be given to, possibly interchangeably, the San Francisco 49ers and the Cleveland Browns, who are both winless on the year. I think it's now 0-7 for both teams. So there's almost it's almost no chance that the Jets are going to get the first overall pick. Or even the second at this point. There's a chance they could get the third pick, but it's a long shot at that with the way they've been playing. But, again, I want to see, and I kind of made this argument last year, I want to see what you have with the quarterbacks on your roster to make sure it's even worth trying to go get a quarterback at this point. The two biggest things I think the Jets need help with are quarterback and wide receiver because they have no targets to throw to, really. Richie Anderson's done a good job. He had 104 yards receiving in the loss to the 49ers. And Austin Seferian Jenkins may have finally solidified the tight end position with the Jets, but they don't have a quarterback for the future. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, a quarterback-driven league.
I mean, there are options now. Now, since San Francisco is out of the Kirk Cousins free agent running.
Yeah, it's because they traded for
Jimmy Garoppolo.
From the Patriots.
What an active trade deadline.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, though, and this is what surprises me about the Patriots, is that they had three solid, viable options at quarterback, two behind Tom Brady. They had Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. Both guys have been traded. Brissett got traded to Indianapolis because they wanted an insurance policy for Andrew Luck, who might now miss the entire season with injuries. There's no guarantee on when he's going to be able to come back and play.
Injuries.
Yeah.
More like, look, you're not giving me an offensive line. I am going to be
injured. It's basically...
I don't want to like say that that's the reason, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Andrew Luck could be pulling a Chris Jericho. I'm done. You guys aren't going to give me a protection? The hell with this. He's basically calling his team stupid idiots for not giving him support.
Because he's not walking out of the team.
Oh, no. But I think you may have an argument to a degree in that he's staying, and I use air quotes when I say this, he's staying hurt because he knows he's going to get lambasted because he doesn't have a line.
Yeah. Does this hurt? Like, oh, yeah, ow, that really does hurt, ow.
I barely touched your toe with a twig. Yeah, I think you broke it.
Yeah, ow.
Okay, let's try this. I'm poking you in the ribs with a stick. How does that feel?
It really hurts. It reminds me of my offensive line not giving me protection, and I bruised my ribs at one game against the Jaguars.
Okay, so we'll write down bruised ribs. You're out 3 weeks. Good enough?
Yep, thank you, bye.
All right. So, yeah, you just heard the inside of the training staff room.
A possible thought of it.
Yeah?
Yeah, possible looking. Who knows what the actual looking is?
Yeah.
We're no flies on the wall.
At times, though, I wish we were for certain things in the sports world, honestly.
Well, yeah, of course.
Flies on the wall and flies inside the heads of most people running the sports world. Mm. But, you know, I mean, hell, the NFL ratings have been down this year.
But you want to talk about the trade deadline before we move on to the
Before we go
ratings?
Back to the Jets?
Ratings or Jets.
Yeah. It's a big news out of
because,
the trade deadline.
Because you're talking about the whole Garoppolo thing.
Yeah.
And you're talking about...
There's been a couple of big trades. Jimmy Garoppolo got traded to San Francisco for draft picks.
Yep.
Then you had Buffalo and Philadelphia also making big moves. Philadelphia ended up picking up Jay Ajayi from the Miami Dolphins for draft picks. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And the Bills picked up Kelvin Benjamin from Carolina for draft picks.
Well, in a league this year where it's, you know, there's really no big... front-running favorite, why not the Bills go for it this year?
Well, the big front-running favorite's got to be, at this point, Philadelphia. They're 6-1.
Okay. I mean, New England looks like they're slowly coming back to form, as the weather gets colder. England goes back to form.
Same thing with Pittsburgh. They're starting to return to form to a degree.
Yeah, but still, for the Bills, like, when they look at this division, who's who's better after those three that you mentioned? Like, who is extremely better after...
Maybe outside of New England and Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Maybe
Kansas City, but after that. Because Denver is not doing anything.
There's not a lot, really.
I mean, Oakland is a disappointment.
Yeah, but then again, they have been a big disappointment, the Raiders this year.
I mean, maybe Texans looks like they're going to be a playoff team because just of Deshaun Watson and them being in the very bad South Division.
Well, and also, the way you look at it, though, and this ties into the Jets, imagine how much of a slap in the face that would be. They passed up on Deshaun Watson. They didn't even
on Carson Wentz as well.
Yeah, it's true, they did.
And the Browns did a Browns thing over the trade deadline by not getting that quarterback.
Yeah, they had the chance to get A.J. McCarron from Cincinnati. Cincinnati okayed it, but the Browns didn't get the paperwork in time before the trade deadline.
And then you see, report headlines that they were celebrating that they got that trade done, but they didn't do it. You know, I was going to finish that, man. You don't have to step on my feet.
Sorry.
I don't know why that's a habit out of yours.
I don't either, honestly.
Maybe that's why Steve and Dan are taking their hiatus, because they know that you're going to step on them every time they speak.
Hey, you're partially at fault for that, too.
I don't really step on people.
Yeah, but you force them to speed up their thoughts because of time constraints,
let them finish.
Right.
So, we don't know if that was really true or not, but just the report and just seeing that as a very bad optic overall.
Well, I mean, and to your point on the playoffs, as it sits right now, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and New England all have the same record at 6-2. Then you have the 4-3 Titans leading their division, the two wildcard teams, the 5-2 Bills, and the 4-3 Jacksonville Jaguars.
I had a feeling Jacksonville was going to be in there.
Yeah, the Jaguars held the last wildcard spot, and the reason they have the tiebreaker is because they have the best win percentage in conference games over the Miami Dolphins, who also sit at 4-3.
Well, also Miami has one. Oh no, they probably didn't have a bye yet. So
yeah, no, Miami did. They had a bye week one.
I'm not a real bye.
Yeah, that was their real bye week. The bye week for the Dolphins was supposed to be week 11, but because of the hurricane at the start of the year, them and Tampa Bay had their bye weeks pushed up to week 1, so now they're playing every game the rest of the season.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. That was
That's why the Bucks didn't play. The Bucks and Dolphins didn't play week 1. They were supposed to play each other.
I know that they didn't play week 1 because of the hurricane. I didn't know that the bye was moved because of it.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
So that was their bye week, and they're playing the rest of the way.
Okay, so their bye was replaced because of it. Got it.
Yep. So now we're squared away with that. Yep. But back to Kelvin Benjamin going to Buffalo. The Bills had had, as far as the wide receiver position is concerned, and this is amazing, considering the fact that Buffalo's 5-3 and they're in the top wildcard spot right now in the playoffs.
Yeah, so again, why not go for it?
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have the worst wide receiving numbers out of any team in the league. They're dead last in wide receiving yards and touchdowns.
So get that improvement like
they did. Now, the only question mark I had with Kelvin Benjamin was him coming off the major knee injury last year, which cost him the entire season. And some people believe that's the reason why Carolina missed the playoffs, or played a factor into it anyway.
Well, fresh start in Buffalo.
Yeah, and he's got 8 more weeks to prove it, or 9 weeks to prove it now, since
as I was saying about, let's move on to the other trade, the Garoppolo. Like, I was trying to expound on that since San Francisco is now out of the running of the possible where the heck is Kirk Cousins going to go after this, because that's a major implication as less suitors for him. So that means that his power of trying to get max money might be a little bit diminished. But, you still got the Browns. You still got the Jets. And you still got, like, maybe you got Minnesota, since they're in a dome, you know, that could be a good place for him, because they don't know what their future with Bridgewater is all about.
But yeah, surprisingly, Minnesota's got the second best record in the NFC at 6-2. The only team better than them is the 7-1 Eagles.
But
I know
they don't know what their future is going to be like with those quarterbacks.
And they'd predicted Washington to be a good team, yet Washington sits 11th in the NFC at 3-4.
That's 3-4.
I know.
They have a lot of ground to catch up on before they can really say that they're in the playoffs. But it's not like they're way out of there. So what's like who are on the wild card spots in the NFC?
NFC playoffs.
I don't care. I just want to hear about
wild card.
The two wild card
teams are the 5-2 Rams and 5-3 Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Falcons are out at 4-3.
So that means that they're like what? Washington's what? 2 games back then?
Yeah. But Washington's got a lot of teams they're gonna try to vault over. Detroit, Dallas, Green Bay, and Atlanta. And Carolina to get that last wild card spot.
Yeah, so
it's entirely possible.
It's entirely possible. Same thing with the other teams.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they have a lot of work to do, but it's not like they're, like, Giants out.
No. The only team that's worse in the NFC than the Giants
are the 49ers.
Right.
Which we talked about. But, good on them to, trade for Garoppolo. Like, the Patriots weren't going to sign him.
No.
I heard about that was all cap reason, and also that Tom Brady wants to play for a few more years. So it just seemed like it was the right time to make the trade. And they got San Francisco's second-round pick, which is a high second round, which is basically like another first-round pick.
Pretty much, because the Niners suck.
And that's definitely a good place for the Patriots to pick up something that they really need.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady's not getting any younger. It might not hurt to see if you can pull a quarterback out of the second round.
Exactly.
But, then again, you also forgot about the JHI trade to Philadelphia. The Eagles have one of the best running games in the NFL this year. They're definitely top five. I know that.
And now it's got even more explosive.
Yep. But, I mean, I found it surprising that Philly went after JHI, considering that Dallas is in desperate need of a running back. They have running backs on their roster. They've got Alfred Morris. They've got, who else is the running back?
Well, yeah, you got the suspended Zeke.
Yeah, that's
the resuspended.
The suspension was finally confirmed.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The resuspended.
Yeah, so Zeke Elliott's suspension is now in effect, and I've
so plus, no, so like, why did they not go for a running back when they know that Zeke's going to be out for like a big part of the crunch time for Dallas to try to make it to the playoffs?
Well, they still have
that's like a big slap in the face to see that a divisional rival has gotten a running back.
They
don't really need a running back because their running game is amazing.
They still have Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris on the depth chart as running back, so I think it's going to be running back by committee, and they should be all right. But it's who knows? I think it took them a while to finally get around to doing this. But I saw something pop up the other day from SportsCenter, and this I find extremely interesting, and it's mind-numbing. And this is a direct quote from Jerry Jones on the 6-game suspension being upheld for Ezekiel Elliott. And I quote, "Zeke is a victim of an overreaction. 2 years ago, this wouldn't have been an issue before Ray Rice."
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so if Ray Rice didn't happen, yeah. Okay, you're out of touch, Jerry. That's an out-of-touch call.
Yes, it is. I mean, thinking of this from a strictly football perspective, and I know this may sound a little bit messed up, but I kind of understand where Jerry Jones is coming from. He's unhappy that his star running back has to be taken out of the lineup.
So basically, though, he's saying, yeah, so my player got convicted for domestic violence.
It was 2 years ago, and it has nothing to do with...
And 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, that would have been the case. So the domestic violence would have been fine.
Yeah, basically, that's what he's saying. Plus...
That's what you would have to interpret it as, and that's just stupid as hell to say that domestic violence wouldn't have been a suspendable issue.
Well, not only that, but this also happened in college, remember?
No. It was after he was drafted.
Yeah, but I think he was still in Ohio. No, it was after he was drafted, it came to light. It happened while he was playing at Ohio State.
No.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay, because for some reason I thought it was.
No, it's like he probably had other issues, but the thing that he was suspended for was when he was
out of college already.
Out of college and drafted.
I wasn't sure.
Because the whole talk was that, I remember hearing sports hosts saying, like, and reading the news story about... This happened after he was drafted. He was part of the NFL. It's an NFL issue.
Again, they have an argument, but I could also see Jerry Jones' side of it.
Well, how can you see Jerry Jones' side of it?
No, as far as this wouldn't have been an issue had it not been for Ray Rice, I'm like, yeah, it probably would have been. But I think...
But now that everyone's now in tune to it and really realizes that, yes, this is an issue, we have to suspend them much harder... And you're saying, oh, woe is me. If this didn't happen, then Zeke would be running again and not be suspended. But too bad. This is what the world we live in right now.
I'm like, hello, you'd have to suspend
him. Domestic violence. He has to be suspended, yes.
Exactly. And not only that, but I think Dallas has an advantage over certain other teams. When you lose a running back like Ezekiel Elliott and you have two quality running backs on your roster, and both Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris, both who have had success in the NFL, I'd like to think you'd be okay with that,
Well, let's just see what happens.
I mean, the Cowboys should be all right. In theory, they should be all right,
but
who knows?
But again, we'll see what happens in these next 6 games.
Yeah, that's good. That's what's going to make it fun. I can almost guarantee you that. But I want to double-check see who Dallas has the next 6.
All right. So...
Yeah. No, hold on.
Take you long enough?
No, shut up. All right, so with the suspension now fully taking effect, it's Kansas City.
Okay, that's a tough game.
At Atlanta.
That can be a tough game, depending on what Atlanta does in this game.
Right. Hosting Philly, Sunday Night Football.
Of course. Okay, so basically 3 tough games in a row.
Hosting the Los Angeles Chargers, Thanksgiving afternoon at 4:30.
Okay, so I can see... 2-2, or 1-3.
Hosting Washington, end of November. And the last game of the suspension, Sunday, December 10th, 4 o'clock, here in New York when they play the Giants. That's the 6th game.
And they're 4-3, right?
Yes. 4-3 going into this week's game against Kansas City.
I don't know. They could still be a .500 team.
Yeah. There is a possibility. Their final 3 games are at Oakland, home to Seattle, and at Philadelphia to close out the regular season for the Cowboys. And they're out of a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Just thinking about it, I can only see them maybe being in a range of 3-3 with either being 4-2 or 2-4.
Yeah, I mean...
So if they end up being 2-4, then yeah, they're in good shape when Zeke comes back. But if they're 3-3 or 2-4, not 4-2, then that season is going to be a tough one to bounce back and even try to make it to the wild card, I think.
Well, they're in second place in the division. I can't see anybody catching Philly at
this
point.
No, that's what I'm saying for the wild card. Like, yeah. If they stay one game over 500,
by the time
or
Zeke
worse, by the time Zeke's back, that is going to be a very tough hill to climb when they have, what, like four games left?
Three games left after he comes back.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one for them, too. They would have to run the table and have lots of magic on their side.
I mean, it is possible with the way things have gone in the NFL this year.
Well, of course, but I'm just saying that they need those other two running backs need to show up.
Yeah, they need
and help Prescott and help the rest of the team.
I mean, they should. Dallas should be all right.
So one man down, the next two guys got to
step up. Yeah.
Thanks for stepping on my words again. Mm. And now you wanted to talk about the whole ratings issue.
Yeah, the ratings issue had gotten so bad that Papa John's is blaming Roger Goodell for why their sales are down. I don't know if you heard this story.
I heard about it, and I do agree on the take that why do you have to say about that and say that they have to stop this national anthem thing, make a decision on it, and you know try to alienate one side of the party when Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan. Sorry, I'm thinking of Michael J and stuff. It came out of Jackson. Sorry,
I'm like, what the hell does he have to do with this?
I'm in like a lucid type of motion. Thing like here, like word association. No, but
settle down,
with
Jeff.
Michael Jordan, you know, with his shoes and stuff, he never went political on these things because he said in a great way, people from the left and people on the right buy sneakers.
Yeah.
So why do I want to piss one side off?
Yeah.
So same thing with Papa John's. Why do you have to say that and try to be saying we need to stop this national anthem thing because it's hurting ratings and it's hurting our pizza sales that we advertise on your NFL platform? And now you're like alienating the people that defend the national anthem protests.
Exactly. What you should have done is...
So now you're definitely going to have those people not going to buy Papa John's pizza.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, you're going to take this stance? Screw you. I'm not going to buy your food anymore. How about that?
Exactly.
You're going to lose even more money because you put your foot in your mouth.
Exactly.
I'm like, if you really wanted to take a stand on this...
Was that the point they're going with, or...
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to run with. I'm like, if you really want to take a stand on this, then stop advertising with the NFL altogether. And try to find another avenue to work with. I know you have Peyton Manning as one of your prime spokespeople, and you've made a lot of money off the NFL. But you have working deals with the Islanders and the NHL. I know that.
Yeah, but he also has the Rangers, if I remember.
Yeah,
he does with the Yankees
and the Mets.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's here in New York. Who knows anywhere else? Probably has a good constituents in Denver. Hi, guys from Denver, listening to our show.
Sorry, we're leaving you out of the conversation temporarily.
Hey,
but
we mentioned you again. So. Yep.
But yeah. I mean, Papa John should be able to make enough money as it is.
I mean, who knows? I mean, like, it could be a factor, unless they saw, like, a major decrease during this. I mean, I know that that John's had to change expectations because of this rapid price decrease.
Yeah, I mean, he's also saying that, you know, he's blaming Roger Goodell for not nipping this in the butt a long time ago.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying about that now you've alienated one side of that whole protest issue.
But to a degree, I can see his argument where this should have been nipped in the butt a long time ago. Why it's still going on now is beyond me.
Like, because it's not a black... I won't say black and white. No, but it's not like... It's a whole gray area issue.
Right.
There's no this or that. Not one side or the other. It's a whole mesh of gray muck that can't be sorted out because it's a very deep-rooted political issue.
Right.
So you can't easily, as he says, nip it in the butt.
Right. Me personally, I don't care one way or the other about this whole kneeling thing. I really don't. It's just like, shut up and play football.
Yeah. Or like, I don't care what you do. People that talk about it, shut up, let them play.
Yeah, exactly. The way I look at it, as long as you're not hurting anybody and as long as you're not affecting your play on the field for my team, I don't give a crap what you do.
Yeah.
I really don't care.
But that's not the world we live in.
I know, unfortunately.
Okay, sera, sera.
See? And now, back to what we started to talk about before we got off on these tangents, which is fine with us. The Jets find another way to lose.
We're done with that because who cares?
Yeah, well...
I mean, yes, they are on a three-game losing streak.
But three games they should have been able to win had they been able to hold the lead in the fourth quarter.
I mean, going to the season, aren't you glad that they're at least putting up a good fight?
Absolutely.
Over and over again? Yeah, I mean, like...
They're exceeding my expectations.
I mean, that's the whole thing. It's just seeing them grow, seeing them go through these growing pains. I think that's all you can really ask for this Jets team. I mean, they would have to play, you know, for... I mean, it would have been great to win those three games in a row.
It
would have been. But then again, that changed your expectations. And then, you know, I mean, yeah, then it's just... I mean, like, this is kind of what you expected out of the season, even though everyone thought there was going to be, like, a 1-2 win team.
Yeah.
But they won three in a row after being 0-2, and they were in the close games in the past three games. It sucks as it is, but again, this is a young team. That's all you can say, a young, growing team.
The only thing I've ever asked out of any of my teams, the Mets, the Jets, and the Islanders, is at least be competitive. I don't care if you, to a degree, I care if you suck. Because I want to see my teams at least, if not win a championship, then at least be competitive for a championship, as I'm sure you do, and anybody else who follows sports. They want to see their teams be competitive for a championship every year. But at the same time, don't, like, show me life, and if you lose close games, that's fine. It's like, there's nothing you can do about it. You put up a good fight, the other team got a couple of breaks. Which is what happened with the Atlanta game on Sunday.
And let them build and learn from it.
Exactly.
So that's all you can ask for. I mean, it would have been great. It would have been raising those expectations as a possible playoff contender with such a young team. That would have been fine. Sorry.
Oh, you okay?
A little cough as I was talking.
That's all right.
I talked a lot today.
What, at work?
On. Yeah.
You know. All right.
But
it happens.
Yeah, that's besides the point.
Yeah.
So, again, it would have been fine, but... As I said countless times right now, just go with it. This is a fun team.
Yeah.
They're doing well behind Josh McCown.
Yeah.
And if you change the plan, go with the young kids right now, then that's probably the Jets throwing in the towel.
And I can tell you another team that had high expectations and exceeded expectations. We've talked about them before. That's the New York Yankees. As I said, we'll get into World Series talk post-show, because by the time this show is done, the World Series will be over. We'll have you covered on social media.
The thing we can't say is it's been a very crazy good series.
Yes, it has been. It's been a very entertaining World Series. Probably the most entertaining game of the whole series was the 13-12 game the other night.
Yes.
This is, I believe, game 5 of the series.
Yeah, ended back going and forth. Innings. Basically, all the runs were home runs.
Yep.
And you see all the bat flips and all the excitement and all the smiles on both sides, you know.
All right, so I kind of want to get into this now. And I was gonna wait a little while, but we'll get into this now. There had been some arguments that had been made, and... mentioned this briefly on past shows. If you want to hear them, check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. Search Sully and Steve on Sports. You'll find us there. But it mentioned, and this is some baseball Pruitts would mention this, and this to a degree I can see happening. The use of an electronic strike zone and having an umpire standing up in the press box looking at a screen, and they can electronically relay it to the umpire behind the plate whether or not it's a strike.
That's probably one piece of technology that I might want.
Okay, I want to hear your reasoning why.
Because enough of this, like, oh, we got to hear about, we know what a ball and strike is. We know where the strike zone is. How come it's determined by a person who has to have a wider strike zone or a tighter strike zone? There's a definitive strike zone with each batter. Let it stay that way and don't play favorites or don't even try to extend it or decrease it. Let it be this consistent thing.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the strike zone is supposed to be...
the chest?
To the knees, right?
To the knees.
Okay. But it changes again. It varies based on the size of the player.
Well, but still, it's still letters on the jersey to the knees.
Yeah, and a lot of that may be an explanation for why we're seeing strikeout numbers exorbitantly high, because batters are swinging, and I've yelled at this with the Met game. Met games this year. No, hold on. I've yelled at this with Met games this year. I've yelled at this during the playoffs. There's guys that are swinging at pitches that would be out of the strike zone or balls to the naked eye, but because I think the umpire's strike zones have been so inconsistent all year, batters are swinging at it just to try to make contact. You don't think so?
Nope.
Why not?
This is an all-or-nothing league right now. Home runs are nothing.
Well, I'm not just saying during the playoffs. I'm just saying in general.
All or nothing.
Which is a problem I've had with hitters for a long time now.
Most of them are all or nothing because, you know, the home run is what gets people excited. No one really gets excited with base hits and rallies anymore, even though they should be, because, you know, what's better than a home run? A rally that brings you 3 runs or 4 runs over and over again and just, like, wearing out that pitcher over and over again. But that's what you see right now, because all these great hitters, you know, you're seeing more 260s, 270s with a high rate of strikeouts with a high home run rate.
Aaron Judge, 52 home runs at over 200 strikeouts.
Yeah, well, but he kept on hitting the ball pretty well and stuff, so he was in the high 200s.
Yeah, he did, but I mean...
You're going to see less people in the 300s and more people in the upper 200s with higher home runs and higher strikeout rates.
Right, and I made this argument with Aaron Judge during the divisional round in that Aaron Judge had more strikeouts in the divisional round than Tony Gwynn had in an entire season.
Yeah, well, Tony Gwynn was just that special guy. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know that's setting a different standard, obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
but
you're raising that standard way too high. I know. Comparing him to Tony Gwynn. I mean,
but you look at a guy like Junior. Like Ken Griffey Jr. He was routinely around 300. He would average somewhere between 290 and like 320 for single season batting average. He was hitting over 30 home runs a year. He was driving in 100 runs a year. And he was making contact more often than not. He didn't have to hit 50-plus home runs a year. He did occasionally because he was a good hit because he had power and he still had probably the sweetest swing I've ever seen. But he was just a good hitter.
Yep.
And it shows how much hitting has changed in our lifetimes.
Exactly. And also, like, you hear about the baseballs also being wound tighter, which means that they can be projected much faster off the bat. And also, players are much stronger as well. So, like, their bat speeds are much quicker. So that's also with the exit velocity of baseball.
Which I've never really found to be an interesting stat. At least I haven't. I know there's people who like it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, because you have a quicker reaction, quicker bat speed,
yeah.
Which means that if a ball's going 100 miles per hour and your bat speed's much quicker, yeah. That exit speed
is going to be a lot faster.
So that means, like, a line drive is not going to die down and hit the wall. It's going to go over the wall.
Yep. And a lot of pitchers are throwing harder. The old saying goes, chicks dig the long ball, chicks dig the fastball too, apparently.
Yeah, and when they're throwing harder fastballs with the quicker bat speeds and they time it perfectly, that's going to be a line drive home run or a bomb of a home run.
Yeah, but again, back to the electronic strike zone, I still think that could work, and I'd like to see them experiment with it in preseason games to see if it's going to make sense, because it might cut down on guys swinging at bad pitches, honestly. And it might lead to more contact and possibly more home runs, because if it's over the plate more, you're going to swing more often.
Well, at least you're going to see, like, what's a strike and what's a ball.
Exactly, and I'd like to have a more definitive
answer.
And
the only person you're going to blame is yourself to not recognize it, because it's the I mean, you keep on seeing the electronic strike zone during the playoffs, during these past several years, this past decade and stuff. Everyone's looking at the electronic strike zone to see what's actually what. Yeah. And compare it to the umpires.
Okay,
so this isn't something new. Implementing it would be new, but actually seeing it compared to the umpires would be new.
Yeah, we have that luxury of watching it on TV. The umpires don't have that in the ballpark.
Exactly.
So they have to try to figure it out on their own. So, you know, I'd say run with it for a couple of weeks in spring training and see what happens. And if it works, run like hell with it. I'd say go with it. If it's going to keep working, why not? Well, we've had trades in the NFL. We've had new managers in Major League Baseball.
Yes, let's go on to what Steve has to say. Yeah.
The only team right now in baseball that doesn't have a manager is the New York Yankees. They're the only team in baseball without a manager. There's been a couple of new managerial changes, but we'll get to that momentarily. Steve gave his thoughts yesterday on the Yankee manager. As far as Joe Girardi being gone as Yankees manager is concerned, I'm absolutely stunned. I know we criticize and make fun of him because of the binder, but if you look at his overall work, it's pretty impressive, especially lately. Besides his one World Series win with this team, recently he's always had the Yankees in contention for a playoff spot, even when everyone said they had no chance. Now this season, many thought they could win a wild card or just miss the playoffs. And what did Girardi lead them to? Beat one of the best teams in baseball down 2-0 in a best of five and getting them just one win away from the World Series. And since the Yankees don't seem to have a clear-cut replacement for him or anyone in particular in mind, it makes the decision even more stunning. However, more times than not, the Yankees seem to always know what they're doing, and with a young team and as talented teams that they have, it's going to take a real moron of a manager to screw them up. So regardless, I'll see the Yankees being just fine. And I agree, it was a little stunning that they got rid of Girardi when you consider, by the time Girardi was done, he'd managed his team for 10 years. His record as Yankee manager was 9-10 and 7-10 during the regular season, 200 games over 500 in a decade.
And guess who had a better record, the only one in his tenure as a Yankee manager? Guess who had the highest?
Higher winning percentage?
Or win total.
I guess one of two people. It's either Billy Martin or Joe Torre.
I said during his tenure.
Oh, wait, you're talking Major League Baseball?
Major League Baseball tenure.
Let's say either
between 2008 and 2017. There was one manager. I forgot the exact numbers. You can look it up when you're done.
Right.
After I say this manager's name.
Take
a guess. You have two guesses.
All right.
That should be enough for you.
Bruce Bochy.
Wrong.
Mike Scioscia.
Wrong.
Who was it?
Joe Maddon.
That would have been my third guess. It would have been Joe Maddon.
I can't believe you got both wrong. And I said you have nailed it in two guesses.
I know.
I had expectations for you.
I know you did. I know.
And you blew it up.
Yeah, I know.
How could you? You are a failure.
Shut up. All right.
But you got to find it within that range, Matt.
Okay. So we're talking 2008 to this year? All right. It's going to be hard to do the quick math, but 66.
Hold on, I got you.
All right, ready?
Yep.
66, 97.
Hold on, yep.
84.
Okay.
96.
Okay.
91.
Okay.
90.
Go on.
92. 77. 97. 103.
103.
And this year, 92.
So let me read this right again, all right?
Yep.
So 2008, that was, as you said, 66.
No, that was 2007.
Get rid of 2007 because 2008 was the first year of Joe Girardi.
Correct.
Okay, so 2008 was 97.
Correct.
Okay, so total of 919.
Wow, 9 wins better than Joe Girardi in that 10-year span. Yes. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I even said Mike Scioscia is because he's been the longest reigning manager in baseball. He's had his job since 1999.
Oh my. Wow, almost 20 years.
Yep.
Going into his 20th season. Jeez.
Yep. 20 years as the manager of the Angels. He's the only one that's had his career start pre-2000.
Okay.
So, yeah, and do you care about the other managers that have been hired or no?
Just run it down of what's been going on.
All right. Alex Cora is the new manager of the Red Sox. Ron Gardenhire is now managing in Detroit, taking over for Brad Ausmus. That's it as far as the American League is concerned. The National League, we already talked about Mickey Callaway taking over for the Mets.
Did Steve have something to say about that?
He does. I'll get to that in a second. Just trying to scroll up to get the other list of the NL managers. So Mickey Callaway's taking over for the Mets. Gabe Kapler's taking over for Pete McCann in Philadelphia.
Who's he?
Gabe Kapler?
Yeah.
He's played over 10 years in the major leagues. He's now the manager of the Phillies.
No wonder he sounded familiar.
Yep. Dave Martinez is taking over for Dusty Baker as the manager of the Nationals. That just happened. That's going to be announced tomorrow.
Who's he?
I have no idea, honestly, but he's the new manager.
Oh, he's going to be that sabermetric manager that's going to be groomed by management. So 10 years, and it's all going to be locked up by what the team says and not what he says. Great.
Yep. So he's taking over for as the manager of the Washington Nationals. And that's it. So you have 5 new managers in baseball, and you got one more that's on the way whenever the Yankees decide to hire somebody.
And there's really no rumor as to who is going to be, so don't even make projections.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from who's going to take over for the Yankees. I'm not even going to begin to speculate, because usually speculation's wrong.
Yeah, so don't even bother, because we don't know who they're interviewing. We don't know who's the best option.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of that.
Yep.
All right, but since we gave our thoughts last week on Mickey Callaway, here's Steve's take on it. As far as the Mets manager, I saw Mickey Callaway on TV at the Knicks game the other night, and the guy looks like a pimp. Well, Terry Collins...
He's actually watching the Knicks game. Yeah. Wow. Well, they did win 3 in a row.
Yes, they have.
This recording, but go on.
So, Well, Terry Collins is a guy you'd offer to help him walk across the street. Mickey is a guy you ask for dating tips and then watch him learn as he picks up his 10th woman of the night.
Oh my God.
He's never been a manager before, but I've seen so many Indians fans saying the Mets are now their second favorite team because he's our manager. Have you seen anyone react to a pitching coach that way? If Dan Worthen ever became a manager, good luck to that team. Do you think any of us would root for him? Not a chance in hell. All in all, he's a first-time manager, and I think he deserves a chance, and I agree. I'm like, give him a shot at it. Let him see how he does with it. You know, again, we talked about that last week, but I'm intrigued to see what happens with Mickey Callaway now running the New York Mets. At least let's hope that, unlike Ben McAdoo or Terry Collins, he actually has the attention of the locker room.
We'll see. I mean... He's under the tutelage of Terry Francona. So, you know, he's learned a lot from there. and we'll see what he does. It's just surprising that you don't see, you know, managers from the minor leagues get their, they pay their dues, and they don't get rewarded by becoming an major league manager.
I know.
They just stay there because now it's all analytics driven, and they just want to, management just wants to, as I said before, groom a manager that will stay close and do whatever they say.
Yeah, but then again, I'm also getting tired of sabermetrics. That's partially what I think drove Rich Hill crazy in Game 2 of the series, because the Dodgers took out Rich Hill in Game 2 after 60-something pitches in 4 innings, because the reasoning behind it was because his third time through the batting order, he would get knocked around. I'm like, the hell with it. If the guy's having a good night, let him fucking pitch. That's all I'm saying, is let him pitch. Don't worry about the stupid binders. If your guy's going good, let him go. Case in point, Madison Bumgarner coming in relief a couple of years ago when the Giants won their last World Series. 3 years ago when the Giants won their last title in 2014. Mad Bum came in relief and got the save in Game 7. So that showed that Bruce Bochy had faith in him at the time to let him go. So why not? Stick with your pitches, for God's sake. Let him go. Am I right or not? Or are you one of those guys who believes in sabermetrics and the binders?
It has to be both, because there's always exceptions. Because sabermetrics is basically detailed advanced stats as to what is supposed to happen.
Right.
The problem is that these are people, and there are always anomalies.
Very true.
So sometimes if a manager sees something that's, you know, deviating from the binder, then you got to go with it, if it's deviating in a good way.
Right.
But if you see that it's much worse than what the binder says, then yeah, okay, then you realize it. So if you notice an error, don't quickly change it just so it goes with what the binder says. Actually analyze it, and if it's better than what the binder's saying, stick with it.
Agreed. But
that's the problem with sabermetrics. It's a whole level, another level of micromanaging.
Right. One final thought. How much time we got before we go to Pigskin Picks? I can't see the gear.
We gotta start that soon.
All right, so then I'll make this quick. Yuri Gurriel suspended the first 5 games of next season.
Who is he?
He plays for the Astros, and the only reason I'm even bringing this up is because of his little gesture the other night after getting struck out by Yu Darvish. Did you see what happened?
Apparently it was vulgar enough to be suspended
I'm showing you this now. He basically did this. He pulled his hands back to make it look like he had squinty Asian eyes.
Okay.
And
I can see why that deserved a 5-game suspension.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it should have started in the playoffs, but still, good call in Major League Baseball for doing that quickly.
Yeah,
so,
that's kind of a... I mean, I understand all the fun and bat flips and stuff, but...
That's a bit much.
Yeah, that's a little bit over to, like, too loosey-goosey in terms of becoming not good at all.
All right, on that note, let's get to it. Let's pick football games, shall we? This is Sully and Steve on Sports.
Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
So we have a new leader going into week 9 of Pigskin Pick'em. Matt basically got almost every prediction in lockstep with everyone else, but he did not pick the right point differential. We'll start off with the Falcons at the Jets. It was 25-20 Falcons with the 5-point differential. The closest one without going over was Steve, who picked 7 points. So Steve got the win there. Next game was Oakland at Buffalo. Everyone picked Oakland, and right, Buffalo won, so no one won that game.
Right.
Now we have Cincinnati at Indianapolis, a very horrible game, but it was a close game, with Cincinnati winning 24-23, a point differential of just 1 point, and Dan was the closest without going over by picking 6. Matt picked 10, so again, Matt didn't win. Your third game, the fourth game I should say, is Seattle hosting Houston, and that was a barn burner of a fist fight and just slugfest over and over again, where we only had Steve and Matt both picking Seattle, but the point differential was 3, and Steve was the closest without going over with 6, as Matt again picked 10. So far, Matt has no wins this week. Steve has 2. Dan has 1. Going into the fifth game, with Dallas at the Schneiders. Everyone picked Dallas, and Matt was on the nail with a 14-point differential as the final was 33-19, 14 points.
There you go.
So now Matt has a chance to tie Steve, and it comes down to Kansas City hosting Denver. And Dan hit the nail with Kansas City winning by 10 points, and the final was 29-19. Steve did not get the win as he tied with Dan with two wins apiece and Matt with one.
Yeah, bad week overall, I'd say.
So it goes with this. Steve and Matt flip first and second with Steve now in the lead with 12 points. So Steve and Dan got 2 points for this week, while Matt is in third place, got no points. He stays at 11, and Dan raises and closes the gap by closing from 6-8. And now we move on to week 9. You ready for this, Matt?
Like, I have a choice. Let's do it.
Yep. So we always start off with the New York games. And the first one that we have right here will be the LA Rams coming to the New York Giants.
And the only reason we're not picking the Jet game is because it's a Thursday nighter.
Yes.
So, Giants, Rams, because the Rams have played as well as they have this year, they are in contention at least with Seattle for the Western Division title in the NFC. I'm taking the Rams in this one. I'm still not convinced that the Giants are going to be any good this year. They'll be fighting out with San Francisco for the worst spot in the NFC. Rams are going to win it. I'll give the Giants a little bit of hope. Rams by a touchdown.
7 points.
Correct.
So now we have our other hosts. Steve believes that the Giants will win, upset the Rams, and win by 5. Meanwhile, Dan thinks the Giants have no chance in hell and picks the Rams to win by 10.
Next game.
Turn down for what?
So again, as Matt said, that we are not doing the Jet game because they are playing on Thursday and all of our picks are after the Thursday game. So it comes down to the randomizer one more time, picking 5 games.
All right.
The first one up we have right now, it has selected the Tennessee Titans hosting Baltimore. Can Baltimore pick things up after destroying Miami 40-0?
I'm going to say yes, because Mariota's hurt. I think he's still missing time, or he's going to be out for a little while longer. I'm picking the Ravens to go with the upset here, because Tennessee's look shaky. I don't know how they're fully going to react. And with Baltimore coming off what they did last week, Ravens get the win. I'll pick Baltimore by 10.
So now we have Steve's pick, and he believes it'll be a win by a safety. I'm not sure if it's exactly a safety, but you know what I mean. 2 points.
Yeah, no, safety is 2 points.
Well, it is 2 points, but who knows if it'll be the safety be the reason why they won by 2 points. So the point differential will be 2, and the winner he chooses is Tennessee. Meanwhile, Dan goes with Baltimore, and Baltimore will win by 3.
All right, so we have a little diversity through the first 2 games, both in teams and point differential. Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
No, Brendan really doesn't like that, where we don't show the good old wooden ship diversity.
Well, we're starting to this week.
So hopefully Brendan stops posting those GIFs and pictures about how undiverse we are with our picks.
Well, Brendan, you don't like it? Come on the show and say something about it. Let's go, next game.
So next game we have the return
of
one of the AFC wildcard contenders.
Ooh.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right.
Hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
And I'll get it going. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to get the win. The Bengals have been inconsistent with their play this year. They've been downright awful. They could put, you know, it's too hard to figure the Bengals out. They've sucked. They've had their moments of looking like a contending, competing team. But the Jaguars are just a better team. I'm taking Jacksonville by a field goal.
Surprisingly enough, both Steve and Dan also picked Jacksonville.
Okay. But do we have diversity in the scores?
Well, you do match with Steve.
All right.
Steve also picked 3. Meanwhile, Dan thinks that this will be a big defensive slaughter or Bortles mania coming through you, brother. with a 14-point win differential.
Wow, Danny's saying 14.
Win
all right.
By 14 points, yes.
All right. So it's going to be interesting to see how the first three games go. Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
These two teams are now back from last week. It's amazing how the randomizer picks the same teams over and over again.
I love it.
It is the Snyders.
Yes.
Flying all the way to Seattle.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
What say you, Matt?
High Chiefs Snyders, go High Chiefs down. You got to go to Seattle, and the Seahawks have been playing great football. They had a slugfest with Houston last week, and it was probably going to be considered the game of the year. Russell Wilson played out of his mind, and he's going to do it again this week against Washington. The Redskins have no chance. I'm taking Seattle by 14.
Very bold of you. Meanwhile, Dan ones up you.
Yeah.
Dan thinks it's going to be a bigger beatdown by Seattle. A win by 21 points.
He's giving up on the High Chiefs Snyders that quickly?
I don't think he ever really pulled for the High Chiefs Snyders.
Good point.
Steve is a bit more realistic here with a win by 4 points. So it could be like a 28-24 type of thing.
It is entirely possible. Four down, two to go. Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
Next game up, the Dolphins. Can they recover when they host Oakland on Sunday night?
Picked a barn burner of a Sunday night game. Can Miami recover? The answer is no. Oakland's going to find their stride again. Amari Cooper had a big week 2 weeks ago. He's going to get it back again. Miami trading away Jay Ajayi is basically their way of waving the white flag and throwing in the towel. They're done for this season. The Raiders pick the bones to get back on their feet. Oakland wins it by 6.
We have here Dan going by 7 with Oakland. And Steve also picks Oakland. But this is a Solly and Steve first.
Yeah.
A point differential by 1.
Wow.
A 1-point win.
All right.
Can you believe it?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I know. It was bound to happen.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised it took till week 9 to do it.
Who knows? It could have been week 1, but we didn't have it.
All right. Last up, Jeff. Final game.
Turn down for what?
The last game we have here is, again, a return of the Atlanta Falcons.
All right.
After their win against the Jets, will that winning streak continue to 2? Because, you know, once you have 2 wins, it's a winning streak.
It has happened before.
And they will try to extend their winning streak or extend it to a winning streak when they host Carolina. Oh, no. Carolina hosts Atlanta. My mistake.
Carolina hosts Atlanta. Carolina's favorite in this game. But it's not going to matter. They just gave up their best receiver. And now if Julio Jones can find his game because he's had a down year and he's on pace to have numbers that are below his standards. But still, I think this is the week that Julio Jones breaks out of it. Atlanta gets a win. The Falcons beat up on Carolina. Falcons take it by 10.
Ooh. That's a dominant game there by Atlanta. So now we have the other two hosts again, finally. They split the picks as Dan also picks Atlanta, but by only 7 points. And Steve picks Carolina by 4.
So I see we have a little more diversity this week.
Oh, yeah, a lot more diversity for sure.
So the old wooden ship has come in week 9, and it's going to be...
And sailing proudly
with
the flag saying, we have diversity here, folks.
And we are glorious.
Or diversity.
And on that note, Jeff, shut this the hell down.
It is shutting down.
Turn down for what?
All right, so week 9 is in the books for Pigskin Picks, and trades all over the place. Do you want to throw anything else that hasn't been related to football or hockey? Or football or baseball, rather?
Let me try to think here. I thought I had something, but...
Well, hockey note, the Vegas Knights are now down to their 4th-string goalie.
Yeah, I heard about that. Like, I was watching something else, and I kept on following the Islanders' tweets about that, because it happened during the Islander game.
Yeah.
And I saw that the Vegas Knights' 3rd-string goalie got injured, and it's like, oh boy, oof.
Yeah, but still, though, I will willingly admit to this, from all the highlights I've seen of Vegas games, and from what I caught from them playing the Islanders on Monday night, this team's got a pretty good future ahead of itself. It's got a good core nucleus of players, and it's stockpiled a ton of draft picks. This team is going to be good.
They are going to be good, but, you know, they got to have that goalie issue, and the backup goalie in the Islander game, was it Laglace?
Yes.
Oh, God. He just basically blew the game up for the Islanders to win.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, all right. Tavares has turned into a hat-trick machine. He's got 2 in 3 games.
Yeah, it's become like one of the top 5 scorers in the league right now.
Yeah.
Because of those 8 goals in 3 games.
Yep.
Or 4 games.
Yeah, he's finally woken up. But as hot as Tavares has been, the 2 hotter players in the league both play in Tampa, Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos.
Good for them.
They've been fun to watch,
Ovechkin's
man.
Ovechkin's up there as well.
Yes, he is.
As always.
Yeah, well, what'd you expect? It's Alex Ovechkin. Come on now. I mean, Ovechkin's that good. And then some.
And also good for the Knicks for winning 3 in a row after losing 3 in a row as well.
Oh, wait, the Knicks are still relevant?
Well, I mean, look, they're going to be fun and exciting. I don't think they're going to be like this big barn burner of a team.
No.
But you see Kristaps Porzingis actually flourishing with Carmelo Anthony leaving. I don't say that's like a correlation or anything, but, you know, maybe, you know, it's finally his time. They gave him the opportunity to lead the team and become the guy there. And right now, he's been doing it by averaging about, like, I think I remember 29 points.
A game. That's what I've heard.
So, you know, good on him. Hopefully, better things will come with the Knicks. After these 3 wins, they seem to be a much more fun team than we thought they were after the first 3 losses of the season.
I mean, now I think all KP really needed was to see if he could really establish the team on his own.
No, I mean,
I think he
did
all right.
You can't really say that like he really needed this, because if he had no one there, like no like Carmelo Anthony, like that type of player to like, you know, shield him as he was growing in those first 2 years, I don't know if he would turn into this scoring machine, because we knew he had talent and whatnot, but like
I think he needed somebody.
You didn't want to put all that pressure on him so soon by being the guy in his first year.
I think he needed somebody to properly learn under, and that's how all the great players become great, is they have somebody to mentor them the first couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, who know? Unfortunately, I don't know basketball enough to know if a Carmelo Anthony was a mentor to him.
Melo missed a lot of time.
Missed a lot of time, but also I just know that when you're in the New York media these past few years, it was all about Phil Jackson's issues and the whole Carmelo thing, and there was some stuff about Kristaps, but he was not under the microscope as he is now. And I feel like because of all the hoopla that was going on, he is more mentally prepared to take that brunt.
Yeah, now I think that he's got that. He's going to possibly take off and run with it from here.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, good for them. And hopefully this small, young core will grow.
Indeed it will, and hopefully the Knicks can finally get back to prominence once again.
Yep, and we're out of time.
On that note, we have run out of time for this episode of the show.
I just said that!
That's my normal spiel to close out the show. Shut up!
Think of a different spiel.
Fine. We're out of here. Facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports. Twitter at @S_S_Sports. You check both pages for all your updates on the sports world and all your updates on this very show. We've got the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show are on iTunes, and every other piece of audio we got can be found on SoundCloud. Just search Solly and Steve on Sports, hit download, and you can take the show with you wherever you go. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, email us, SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Jeff, I'm Solly. We'll be back same time, same place next week. See ya.
Thanks, Steve.